super excited for today. I'm excited for this platform that kind of enables me to have some conversations with people that I've admired and looked up to and have been a part of my career. And I know I'm extremely fortunate in the fact that I get to talk to a lot of these people that have been either an inspiration for me or a mentor of mine or work side by side with and seeing them have tremendous success in this industry. And I know I'm extremely blessed and probably very biased that I get to pick up the phone, call people like my next guest anytime, text her on a Sunday night if I want, or back in the day when we could travel, and we will again very soon. Always look forward to sitting down and having a conversation with this person. And I think the main thing that I want to accomplish out of this conversation is not so much the success that each of these guests that I'm having on is having now, but more so what got them there. What were the days like that you were ready to throw in the towel? What were the days like where you wondered, is this even the right path that I should be on? What were the beginning days of the career like? You know, I'm always fascinated when a new movie or a TV or something like that comes out and has great success. I want to watch that, but what I really want to watch is the documentary of like how it was made and all of the setbacks that those people had before they ever got that part, all the parts they were turned down for. You know, I admire people who have had success, and I've been very fortunate to work alongside many. But to me, the human side of that is always the most important, because that's what we all share. I can't replicate somebody else's talent, but I can certainly replicate their work ethic or get to know them on a human level and know that we're all very, very, very much the same. So I want to use this format to talk to a number of different angles from our industry. We're going to talk with insurance agents, those that they're at the front line of dealing with what we all do in this industry of taking care of our seniors. I want to talk to other FMOs like myself and watching them in their career and how this industry has impacted them, how they've impacted the industry. And then I want to talk to folks like my next guest from the carrier side of things. And I think you'll hear from this guest, our journey to get here is very similar. What we do may be a little different path, but our journey to get where we've gotten and the level of success is probably very similar. So super excited to introduce our next guest, Rachel Hurtado with United Healthcare. So good afternoon, Rachel.
Good afternoon, Joanne.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I am excellent. So like I said, the main purpose of this is just for you and I to sit and have a conversation as if nobody else was listening, which we've done many times, and to kind of peel back a little bit of you've had tremendous success of in your career at the carrier side of things. But to start off with, tell everybody a little bit about your current role and where you're at now, Rachel.
Sure. First, I just want to thank you for the opportunity to do this. I was very honored to get the email and hear about the podcast that you're doing and the opportunity to do this with you. So I really appreciate it. For anybody that doesn't know me, my name's Rachel Hurtado, and right now I'm the Vice President of National Broker Distribution on the EDC team for United Healthcare, which means that I manage the national relationships with all of our large agencies across the country.
Which is easily much easier said than done. Is it kind of like babysitting in some way? So you deal with the whole agent distribution side and from every size level part of the country. I would imagine that's thrown you a few curveballs over the years of how to handle each case differently, how to handle each office differently. Every office is probably made up of different types of folks, but somehow you've managed to make that look easy over the years.
I appreciate it. Definitely not easy, but certainly fun. I think at this level, moving into this role in a national level, I'm dealing with, you know, really the best in the business. And so all of our national marketing partners that we work with have all built, you know, hugely successful businesses. And I've really enjoyed getting to know each entity on their own and understanding their value prop that everybody's bringing to the business and how they're supporting agents and downlines and the feet on the street that are out selling the products and meeting with members, but most importantly, really, you know, kind of just like you talked about, peeling back the layers and really understanding what makes each group tick and where your passion is and, you know, how we can partner together to be, you know, better together, right, as we move forward in the business.
That's awesome. So tell me about some of the early days in your career. Has it always been in the insurance side?
It has been, actually. So I accidentally, as probably a lot of people, ended up in insurance. I moved back. I went to Bradley University in Peoria, and I moved back to St. Louis, and I was kind of working odds and ends, really. And I ended up taking a job through a temp agency in the St. Louis market. And my first temporary assignment was with another carrier. And so ultimately the job was supposed to last 2 weeks. And after a couple months, they offered me a full-time position. And it just kind of, it started from there, and it ended up being a great spot for me to be in. And I had an opportunity to move around in different departments and find my niche. And 25 years later, I'm still in the business.
You're so right. I talked to so many people that accidentally fell into this business. And if we've ever taken it for granted, I think last year and the whole 2020 definitely proved that we picked the right business, whether it was accidental or not. My start was pretty similar. I was, my husband and I had just gotten married, just graduated college up in Kirksville, Missouri. It was Northeast Missouri State at the time. It's now Truman State University. We just graduated, and all through college, I had worked for a real estate company there in Kirksville. And one day, my husband had we just got married, and he had just gotten a job offer to move to Columbia, and which we kind of both knew that that was kind of where we ended up. We're both from small towns and small areas, and Columbia was like a big city to us. Like, you and St. Louis probably think we're a small town in Columbia, but to us, Columbia was like the ultimate big city for us. We knew it was where we wanted to end up. So right after he had gotten his job offer, literally like within days, I'm sitting there in the real estate office that I worked at on a Saturday morning, and in walks a guy by the name of Dan McNerney, who I had no idea who he was or what he did. He was just a guy walking into the real estate office and was mentioning to the realtor that was on call that day that he was getting ready to move his business to Columbia and wanted to list their house. And as soon as they said Columbia, the real estate agent perked up, and she's like, "Oh, do you need any help? Because our assistant over here is getting ready to move to Columbia." And so anyway, that's literally how I met Dan and went in for an interview the next morning and took the job of what I thought was probably going to be 6 to 8 months, kind of like your temp position. It enabled us to go ahead and move to Columbia, put a down payment on an apartment, and pay the first month's rent. And then I thought, then I'll go find out what I really want to do. And that was, coming up on 31 years ago. So I think
amazing. I said, it's just amazing. Like, my oldest daughter, I was pregnant with my oldest daughter when I started and in the business. And, you know, she's 24 now and starting, you know, her career as a young adult.
Wow.
And one of the things that she asked me is how, you know, I ended up where I've ended up. And at the end of the day, while it was an accident that I ended up here, I mean, I love this business. I've always loved the business. I mean, I may have changed roles or changed carriers, but I've never really had a desire to leave the industry. And I just think it's because it grows and it changes constantly. And I think I thrive on the opportunity to kind of change and reinvent yourself.
I was sitting at our oldest daughter graduated from nursing school a few years ago, and I was sitting at her graduation ceremony, and the speaker was talking to them, a bunch of graduates getting ready to go out into the world of nursing. And everything that speaker was saying to them, I'm just having light bulb go off of, oh my God, that's our industry too. You know, that this being one of the, she was talking about nursing being one of the most noble professions, nursing being one that you're going to have hands-on to be able to help steer people in the right direction. You're going to have days where the ideology of being a nurse and the romanticizing or whatever you had of being a nurse is going to hit you in the face like a brick. And you're going to be frustrated, but at the end of the day, you're going to help that person that's in front of you because that's what you took an oath to do. And there's a lot of, I thought, a lot of very similar analogies to that and what our agents do and what we get to do and as part of this industry of, you know, at the end of the day, it's about helping the seniors make a right choice for those days that none of us want to talk about, the day where we have to go to the hospital, a day where, you know, whatever kind of case that we need for our health, you know, so to be able to help people make those right decisions is, I thought there was a lot of similarities between what she was saying and what our
I definitely think there is. I've always, you know, since I've been in the Medicare space, you know, specifically, I said that the agents that are hugely successful in this business and the people that are working in this business, while obviously sales and strategy are an important part of the business, right, to continue to grow, that a lot of the people that are sitting down face to face with the prospects, with the members, with the seniors, are really service-minded. You know, they're really trying to help people, you know, through a difficult process or a difficult time or, you know, a complex decision and making it easier and doing the right thing to help them. And I think that that's what's appealing about it. It's a sales job, but in and of itself, it's very different than, you know, many other arenas that you can be in selling.
Yeah, for sure. So our kids are all in their similar in ages. Mine are all early to late 20s and either entering or have started to enter their workforce and follow their dreams. What are you telling them? How are you sharing with them of what to look for today's kid, which are kids, even though they're 20. Our kids are looking for something a little bit different than what we were looking for in our 20s. I was looking for a paycheck, to be honest, when I first got
I was trying to pay my rent. But,
you know, and whether it's the millennial generation or the next one, which I think is Gen X, I think, you know, they're looking for more of a place to make an impact, which again, this industry, I mean, making huge impacts each day, but what do you tell your kids? How do you advise them on how to look for a job? What industry should they go into? What are their, you know, deepest, darkest wishes and desires when it comes to careers?
I've always told both of my children while they're going through school, I mean, you need to think about, you know, it's not about being a doctor or a lawyer or a nurse or, you know, a school teacher. You need to think about ultimately, you know, what makes them happy, right? What gives them joy in their life? And, you know, how can you, you know, work in that space? And while you might not be able to work in, you know, in that particular space, I think part of the success comes from finding a job that you love, something that you're passionate about. And like you said, while there might be struggles or challenges along the way or days you want to throw in the towel, that ultimately, if you like what you do, you're going to be happy. And I truly believe if you're happy and you like what you do, you have an opportunity to be much more successful. And I think that that's a pretty common theme from successful people, regardless of the industry that they're in, is that they enjoy what they do. And you really have to think about, you know, are you a service-minded individual? Are you sales? Do you like helping people? Do you prefer to be behind a computer? You know, are you big picture? Are you small picture? You know, how, you know, are they introverts? Are they extroverts? And I think that those are all things while they're in school, you know, they're all learning who they are. I mean, children change, you know, drastically from the time they leave your house and over the next 5 years while they finish school or they graduate from high school and they move out, whatever path they take. You know, when they start standing on their own 2 feet is really when I see the adult personality start coming out in them, right? They really find out kind of what makes them tick, what they like doing. And I guess the other thing I've said is, you know, wherever you start, it doesn't mean that that's where you end, right? It doesn't mean because you start in this industry or you start in a different industry. If you try it, right, and it's not for you, there's so much opportunity for you to move on and to do something else. So your skill set, if you have a, you know, a degree in business or, you know, you've always been great with people and you've got fantastic communication skills. I mean, those are applicable across multiple lines of business, right? So I just think it's about finding, you know, happiness, a place where you feel like, you know, you fit, that you have opportunity to grow, where you fit in with the culture. I think your surroundings are as equally important as what you are doing on a day-to-day basis.
Oh my gosh, that was perfect. Could not have said that better myself. And when you talk about surroundings, I think that's one of the things that I'm so blessed with and definitely recognized early on is not so much the industry that it is, but like you said, where you can use your skill set. And the beautiful thing now is, my gosh, look at all the different types of businesses there are and different ways to use your creativity and ingenuity and your brain now. It's just, it's not limited to getting a certificate and doing something in that field. So
right.
I'm super
jealous.
And the
people, I mean, I know you agree, and I've been that way. And I know, you know, the majority of the people that I know that are in the business, I mean, to me, this business is about the people.
Yep.
And I truly respect and, you know, have built really amazing friendships and coworkers and companions that have, you know, spanned the entire 25 years, and we've all scattered to the wind, but, you know, really amazing people that I've connected with.
Yeah. My mom was a high school business teacher. I've told this story many times, but one of the things that she did was she placed all of her students in different jobs as they graduated. And one of the things that she always told me once I got old enough to start looking at a career, she said, and I apologize to any lawyer or banker that's listening, but she said, don't work for a banker or a lawyer, because she said they both expect the most and they pay the least. And I've never forgotten that. I don't know if she would remember you saying that, but I've never forgotten that. And to me, that just kind of goes along with everything you said as well. It's not so much the industry that I choose, but the people I surround myself with. And I was very fortunate very on and recognized very early on the day that I met Dan McNerney and the day that I got brought into this company and saw the other Dan McNerneys in this industry. I talked to Anthony Chapman earlier this morning on some items, people like that, like Mike White, I mean, all these people in this industry that are icons. I don't care that they're icons. There's a lot of icons in a lot of different industries. When you sit down and have dinner with them, or you sit across from them at a conference and learn the type of people that they are, and they treat the waiter the same as they would the owner of the business. They treat the cab driver the same as the owner of the Cadillac shop. I mean, those kinds of things, you know, and willing to help each other out. I think that's, again, another part of what I'm hoping this type of broadcast will do. And anything that we do at our company, anything I've done in my career, it's, you know, open book. Here's the path I took. Definitely don't have to take that path, but here's where I maybe went left or went right and thought maybe I shouldn't have. But then here's what brought me back. And it's always the people. It's always the relationships, the drive.
Yeah.
You know, that's one thing I noticed you cannot teach is for someone to have drive.
No.
So once they do, you put drive with a passion and then just get the heck out of the way.
And the past, I think with the, you know, when you're talking to either younger people in the business, I mean, you know, in the roles that I've had at United, I've had an opportunity to kind of work and regionally, you know, locally and then regionally and then nationally, but regionally I had an opportunity to kind of rebuild some markets. And I had a lot of really young, you know, people that joined my team, right, that were at the very beginning of their careers. And, you know, your path isn't always, and it's the same thing I've told my children, right? Your path isn't always straight. And you know, your path can wander, and it's great if it wanders, because at the end of the day, the history kind of shapes, you know, who you are. And if you always make the right decision, sometimes you don't have any, you know, vision on what not to do. And right. Some of the mistakes, you know, along the way have, you know, taught me more than some of the right steps have, I think.
Oh, my gosh, so. Right? Somebody's never made a mistake. Yeah. I really sit down and talk to. That's not very interesting.
Right. It's a long way.
If you can go back and remember life before March of 2020, when we all were grounded, somebody like you spent a lot of time on the road, traveling, going to conferences, going to offices, back and forth. And then all of a sudden you got that call that says, nope, you're staying home. You're not going anywhere. I remember you and I talked early on And some other part of United, I forget which, the commercial side, I think, had put out a memo that there was no travel for 6 months, and you about lost it. And here we are. Here. So what was that switch like from being on the road a lot? I have to imagine your job takes you away from home a lot, to now literally being grounded for 12 months.
I would tell you it was tough, right? I think in this role, a lot, you know, the majority of my time is spent in airplanes and hotels, probably gone 85 to 90% of the year. I'm on the road traveling, you know, like you said, to all the different national accounts, to, you know, conferences, to events, all kinds of things all over the country. And I was really fortunate, you know, as far as timing, right? This role came to me at a great time where my kids were older and I really embraced the travel, right? It's something that people talk to you about for work. Like, are you going to handle it? You know, can you do this? It's a lot of travel. I'm like, yep, bring it on. And I love it. And it's been a lot of fun. So my last trip was to Pennsylvania. And I got home, and there were started to be the rumblings already. There were some people that didn't make that trip. So it was very early on in March. And when I got home, like that second week of March, and, you know, they made the announcement that we weren't going to travel. And, you know, initially the thought was, okay, we're going to be home till summer, right? Like, by summer, it'll be okay. Yeah. And so I'm like, okay, I can do this for a quarter, right? We started working on taking things virtually and how we could do business, you know, with Zoom calls like everybody else, right? And while that was challenging, every quarter along the way, I could not tell myself it was going to be more than a quarter, because to go from somebody that was on the road all the time to somebody that's at home with no people was challenging. Yeah, I've definitely been through the roller coaster of emotions through this last year as well. Like, you know, at first it was okay. And then, you know, when we got to summer and realized, you know, it's not going to be okay. Right. And then in my head, I knew, you know, end of the year. And so that was tough for me to kind of, you know, stay motivated and positive and as energetic as I am when I'm face to face with people. And then knowing, right, as we got into fall, that, like, okay, it's not like 12/31 is a magic date and everything's going to be perfect on January 1. So it's been tough. It's been tough for me. I mean, the business is still the business, and we found different ways to connect, and there's been a lot of great things that have come out of it as well, right? It's pushed us to do business differently. Nice. And we've probably done things that we wouldn't have done normally. And I think it's also made us realize, you know, what things you can do virtually, right? What makes sense to do meeting over a Zoom call or, you know, just a conference call versus when I need to get on the plane. But I definitely miss getting on the plane. I'm super excited to get back on a plane.
Yeah, me too. And in the beginning days, again, we thought it, like you, it was going to, we didn't even think till summer. We thought it was going to be a few weeks back in March of last year, literally a year ago right now. And, we were lucky enough to have the technology, to have the resources. So literally, we decided on a Thursday afternoon, and on Friday morning at 8 a.m., we were open for business just like nothing had ever happened, but everybody was remote. Yeah. So we're super lucky there. And I was actually even kind of excited at first of, you know, and now I actually get to work in my office at home, and was so excited about it. After about probably a week, maybe week and a half, I'm like looking outside. I'm wandering down the hall, what my husband's doing, where's the dog? I mean, I need something.
I need people.
So finally, after a couple of weeks, I just moved up to the dining room table. And it's just my son who lived with us at the time, and my husband and my dog, and that's it. But for some reason, that made me feel better to actually see other humans.
I still rotate through I have an office in my house. It's, you know, it's a pretty small office, because typically it's like one day a week at best. Yeah. I was sitting in my office. Right. So I'm like, oh, this is fine. Right. Well, you know, when it's no longer one day a week and it's, you know, you're 40, 50, 60 hours you're working, I started moving through my house. Like if everybody's gone, I'm sitting at my kitchen table, or if it's nice, I might be on my front porch taking a conference call, or, you know, I move, you know, to the office, to the living room. I'm all over the place. Some days I just, you know, it's like a change of scenery. Help me. Airport.
That is exactly me. That is exactly what I went still going through. You know, still, again, our office is fully open, but I still, you know, have the luxury of being able to kind of go back and forth and work remotely. And yeah, some days it's my office, some days it's the office at work, sometimes it's, you know, the kitchen table, sometimes it's outside. Like you said, that's a pretty nice luxury for us to have, and I definitely don't take that for granted. So walk me through kind of what it was like when so United Healthcare is like the bomb, right? I mean, that's when you talk about insurance carriers in the Medicare field, or basically in any field, probably, I only know the Medicare side of it. United Healthcare is kind of the ultimate. It's what everybody, I would assume, on the carrier side from an employment standpoint, aspires to. Certainly from our side, from the FMO, the agent distribution side, it's the flag that we fly the highest, and certainly is such a huge, it's the largest portion of everything that we do. So on your side, walk me through that first like board meeting or VP meeting, whatever you get invited to go to at United, and kind of that, did you have butterflies in your stomach? Did you feel like I've made it? Did you feel like, what am I doing here? I'm a fish out of water. What did that feel like in those first few meetings?
I think, so I've only been at United for 5, almost 6 years, right? Mm-hmm. But the previous 15 years, the previous 15, 16 years, actually, I think it was almost 18 years, I was with another carrier. So while I wasn't new to the business, I didn't necessarily anticipate the move. And previously I did group. So I did small group and I did individual and I did Medicare. So I kind of had my hands in multiple spaces. So, you know, the opportunity to come to United, it was very surreal. The first day I pulled in the parking lot and looked at the United Healthcare logo, it pops up on my time hop in August every year. I posted it on social media, like, who would have ever thought I would be here, right? So I, you know, walking through the halls and everything, I think the first, it's such a big organization, right? I mean, you get thrust into the middle of it, and it's intimidating in the fact that it's so big, and there's so many moving pieces, and you're trying to kind of, you know, find your way in the landscape, like where you fit in this puzzle, you know, who the influencers are that you're working with, kind of, you know, the landscape, you know, either locally, at that time it was locally in the market, the brokers are different. And so, you know, I wasn't necessarily expecting entirely different broker distribution, but it is, you know, entirely different broker distribution than the group world, really. Mm-hmm. I guess the first impression I had, though, from the organization was that I absolutely loved it. I mean, there's a lot of collaboration and transparency that I appreciated immediately out of the gate. I had an opportunity to work for some good leaders and some not great leaders, but the leaders that I've worked for at United have been the best leaders in the business I've ever worked with. And so their willingness to like pull up a chair and sit down and talk to you about your career path and what you're doing and where you want to go or how you're going to attack the business was refreshing. The first like group meeting I had, the first big meeting I had was I had been at United all of 2 weeks, and they were getting ready to do kind of AEP prep meetings, you know, late August. And our chief sales and distribution officer was coming, and the senior vice president was coming, and the vice president was coming. And then I was supposed to present a business plan on how I was going to attack AEP. And I've been there 2 weeks. That was nerve-wracking to me. Yeah. But that's also where I got the opportunity to see their willingness to help you along the way, but also appreciate, you know, while I'm new at the organization, it's a different set of eyes at the way I looked at things, and they were open to new thoughts and new processes, and you know, they'd really just started growing external distribution, and it had been an environment that was really dependent on captives. And so I had been blessed to be at the right place at the right time, but it is certainly it's certainly a phenomenal organization to be part of. So
I was going to ask you, and then you answered it before I could ask, of why you thought the leaders there that United that you've worked with are better than many you worked with in the past. And it sounds like just their willingness to sit down and connect with you and not just say, I'm the leader, I'm your supervisor, I'm your whatever, then here's what we're going to do, now go do it. But the good ones are the ones that they hired you for a reason. You bring a lot of talent and expertise and knowledge. And I find it flabbergasting. I've watched my kids go through some of their early jobs, or friends that have gone through that. My own husband went through that in the world of retail. It's just completely different than what we do. They would hire these people because of their resume and because of what they brought to the table. And then they wouldn't ask them a darn thing. They wouldn't ask, you know, they wouldn't utilize any of that talent. They just said, well, you're here now, so this is how we do it. Instead of, you know, sitting down and using the resources that you bring. So I love that. I love that analogy.
Yeah. I still ask, you know, we still do our, you know, annual review conversations, and I still ask about mentors. And that's one of the things I love to learn, and I love to learn new things, and I love to understand, you know, the business from a bigger picture, right? Not just the sales organization, but whether it's a finance person, it's somebody on the product team, it's, you know, somebody on member experience, you know, somebody that's in sales operations. I mean, all of those pieces are what make it such a successful, you know, machine. And so I continually look for those connections. But, you know, when you're in a silo, it's easy to be siloed when you're in a giant organization. And, right. You know, what's been one of the most amazing things is the opportunity to reach across the aisle or over into another department. And they're just as welcoming, right? Realizing that we're working together as a team, but to share what they know. And I think all of that makes us, you know, has made me more successful along the way. It's, you know, that continued, you know, appetite to learn. But the leaders are also great about, you know, stop and have a conversation. You know, I've been places that weren't necessarily, not that they were bad organizations at all, but they were just, it's just different. And this is, you know, I can call and ask why, right? A decision can come down the ladder and I can say, you know, I need you to help me understand this, or let's talk about the bigger picture. And it's an open conversation. So I love it.
I love that. I asked Dan McNerney late in his career before he retired, who he went to, where he got his source of motivation. He was at the top of our company, you know, one of the top people in the industry, and the people that had brought him into this industry were no longer with us. And so I asked, how do you stay so motivated? How do you show up each day? Who do you go to, or where do you go to for this? And his answer I'll never forget, because I'm fortunate enough to be living it now myself, is, you know, his answer was he had gotten, you know, every accolade, every goal, every check off that he had wanted to accomplish. Now the fun part is helping others. Now the fun part is bringing everybody else along and grooming those next set of leaders. And again, I'm extremely fortunate that I followed in his path and can now have that same ability. And I see you doing the same thing of bringing younger, bringing newer, bringing, you know, doesn't matter, young, old, new, doesn't matter. But sharing what you've learned along the way and helping others and asking the right questions. And, so, well, listen, I could literally sit here all day and do this. I think we probably, for the sake of our listeners, the sake of our time, wrap it up. We'll do it again. But I thank you, Rachel, for not just the last 30 minutes, but for, the connection, the partnership, the friendship, the, how you've taken care of us over the years with such great care, and it just makes us want to work even harder for you. So appreciate you, and hope you have an awesome rest of your day.
Thank you, Joanne. I really appreciate the opportunity and the partnership with you guys as well.
You bet. You bet.